We now have Brenda Optekamp joining us from the University of Nebraska Extension Office here in North Platte. Brenda, good to see you back in the studio.
Thank you, Tristan. I'm excited to be here, and I love the weather that you've given us this week.
it's all in a day's work for me.
That's what I say. We have lots of things. You know, I wouldn't mind that cold weather that we had last week if it would come with some moisture.
Yeah.
If it come with moisture, there'd be a reason then.
And the flurries, that's kind of frustrating too. It's like, well, if we're going to look at it, let's get the snow. Let's get some accumulation.
Yep. Don't just taunt us with your cold air.
Yes. And then the little bit of sprinkle flurries here and there. It's frustrating.
But this is beautiful. And as people are traveling or whatever through our part of the country anyways, I think it'll be pretty smooth traveling and maybe even get some kids and some fun family activity outside on the lawns.
Absolutely. That's always enjoyable when you have those holiday get-togethers and you can have a little bit of outside time too. It's beneficial for all involved.
Right. Because usually the Thanksgiving holiday involves more people than what can get around one table for a lot of families, that kind of thing. So it's always good to get to expand and at least get outside a little bit.
And that's a good problem to have, too, if you've got to bring in some extra tables, extra space.
Yes, right. Well, and that's why I'm here this morning. You know, you think about food safety, and this is the week of the food safety talk or whatever.
It's of the utmost importance this week.
It is. You know, and as I think about importance, even before Thanksgiving, all the food safety. So if you've missed some of these steps already in terms of your turkey still frozen and if it's larger than 15 pounds, you really have to kind of start thinking creatively to how you're going to thaw that to get it in the oven or the microwave or whatever by Thursday morning. But even more importantly for me when I think food safety is what are you going to do with the leftovers afterwards?
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're all feeling the crunch at the supermarket, so those leftovers, I think, will radiate pretty precious to a lot of us, and you want
Absolutely.
To save them either for Thursday night meal or Friday night meal or whatever. And remember that those leftovers need to be put into the refrigerator or into the freezer within 2 hours after leaving that Thanksgiving table and get them into serving size containers so that they cool down in an appropriate amount of time. And then you really have 3 to 4 days that you can safely reheat those leftovers and use them. So throughout the weekend, which is wonderful, but so maybe you're not going to get them all eaten. Maybe everybody's dispersed and you're left with all the extra things. Start thinking creatively. How can you make them into a casserole? How can you freeze them and to pull out later, you know, after the weekend time, that 3 to 4 days for leftovers.
And that 3 to 4 day shelf life is just applied to the fridge. If you're going to freeze some of these items, obviously that's going to change the game a little bit.
Right. No, and then you probably can, if you're going to freeze them, there again, freeze them in smaller size containers, smaller quantities, so that they cool down appropriately. And then you can probably safely do that from 2 to 6 months. And they're probably good and safe to eat after even 6 months. It's the quality that starts deteriorating after that 6 months. So that's exactly right. You know, the thing that I would think about is we all think, oh, turkey casserole, turkey sandwich, and even with that dressing, slice it so you can put it on a sandwich. But how about you think about, rather than one large casserole, making little mini casseroles in a muffin tin? You could do the same exact thing, you know, use that gravy, the stuffing, chop up that turkey and make it into some kind of a turkey casserole and put it into muffin-sized tins. And then you could freeze it or you could bake it and pull it out and have little mini muffins for, you know, a lunch as you go off to work or at home and those kind of things.
And like you mentioned, too, it's 2 hours when we need to be putting those items back into the fridge or to the freezer, storing them properly after they've been officially placed and they're ready for consumption. Let's give a reminder, too, Brenda, for folks that maybe around the Thanksgiving holiday leading up to it, they're doing some cooking ahead. It's always a good idea, from what I remember, to leave those items if you're maybe cooking something in the stove, on the oven top, whatever it might be. Let those items kind of adjust to a more of a room temperature before putting them in the fridge.
That's exactly right. So if you are cooking ahead of time on Wednesday and going to just heat everything thoroughly, getting it into small containers. So if I have the green bean casserole, which everybody's having on their Thanksgiving table.
It's a staple.
That's what I would think so too. That big casserole, if you baked it on Wednesday and thinking, okay, I want to, and really everything in the green bean casserole is cooked. All you're going to do is warm it up. So you can put it together and put it in, and as long as everything was room temperature at the time you put it together, other than maybe frozen green beans or something like that, it's fine to go into the refrigerator just in that size. But if you are going to heat something up like the stuffing, maybe you're going to cook it through so that everything is thoroughly cooked the day before. Putting it in there in the large casserole dish raises your risk for some kind of bacterial growth when you don't let it cool down. And a 9x13, a round casserole dish, 2 quarts, whatever you want to call, does not cool down in 2 hours when you put it into the refrigerator or into the freezer. And then the thing that I have to say is everybody thinks, oh, Brenda, give me a break. I've never been sick, and I always do it that way. I'm always seeing those kind of comments on social media sites and in person. I get it. I've been there, too. But I think what we don't realize is foodborne illness does not mean that you get deathly ill, that you are upchucking everywhere. It's the little tiny twinge of a stomach ache, and maybe you don't feel it until Sunday or Monday, or maybe you're spending a little extra time in the bathroom. Mm-hmm. So all these little risky steps that I talk about that cannot be missed, it doesn't mean that you're going to die and even die of pain or stomach aches, that kind of thing. It's just little things to assure that you stay the most healthy in all aspects of body functioning.
Absolutely. And when it comes to this time of the year, too, with the holidays and with hosting individuals, family, friends, whoever it might be, you want to do some of these measures more so for your loved ones than anybody. I mean, for you and I, healthy individuals, you know, these foodborne illnesses aren't going to be disastrous, but for individuals that are already sick or maybe compromised immune systems, it could very well be disastrous.
That's exactly right. And so there again, those high-risk populations are the younger children, you know, under the age of 5, and then grandmas and grandpas and that older generation that come to our house. And then if you have somebody that has some additional medical conditions going on, those are the ones to be concerned of. And even thinking, oh, just a little mild you know, stomach ache or a little extra time in the bathroom, that might not be what grandma needs when she returns home and gets dehydrated or whatever to set her off for the next month of healthy living that she has. So remembering all of those things and just preparing for it. And like you said, and there again, it's the 2-hour rule, whether you cook it and you're cooling it or whether you're heating it up. 2 hours, and no, that's not exact. Don't set the timer for 2 hours that you have to get off the table. But we say 2 hours because it's a good number to remember. Mm-hmm. You have a little lenience one way or the other. Sure. But generally speaking, the 2-hour rule for everything that you do, and then 3 to 4 days for those leftovers. If you've bought a turkey and it's not going to be thawed in time, what can you do? And I was thinking about this as I drive to the radio. I'd be the one, I wouldn't call the extension office to ask. I would just, oh, well, the giblets are just going to stay in there and we're going to cook it. And that's fine, and you probably are okay because we're not supposed to be washing our poultry. Mm-hmm. Research shows us that the splattering that you make when you wash any kind of poultry is greater than just sticking it in the pan, getting it out of the bag, putting it, you know, in a roasting bag helps keep some of that moisture in so you have more moist meat. But it's going to take longer if you haven't frozen the whole thing. If you choose to put stuffing inside the cavity of that turkey, the big thing is all of it, even the middle side insides, have to be reached to 165 internal temperature. And yes, that turkey has that little pop-up thing, but we know there's malfunctions everywhere we go.
Oh, absolutely.
And that little pop-up thing isn't really even technology in my mind. But I would encourage you to get your meat thermometer out, calibrate it, and even test 2 different locations in the turkey. Test the inside. Did if I left those innards inside that turkey because it wasn't completely frozen, I don't need to tell anybody, but I just need to make sure that those things inside that cavity do reach 165. Mm-hmm. And you don't really want to cook it much longer than 165 in those thicker portions of the turkey because all you're doing is sucking the moisture out, and then you don't have as good a result, and it's not as palatable and not as enjoyable.
Now, Brenda, we are into the cold and flu season as well. I know there's a lot of concern with some of the nation's youth, and that concern is here in the area, too. These kids' immune systems are run down already. It's important coming up on this holiday season and during this cold and flu season to maintain our good hygiene practices as well.
Well, that's exactly right, and that's the first safety, you know, in terms of food cooking is washing your hands, and now we all know the 20 seconds, make sure all that lather of suds gets around while you're scrubbing for 20 seconds, and then when you put it under, we would encourage you not to use hot water, but warm water, and as hot as you can stand, so for all of us, that's a different temperature.
Sure.
But then there again, after you've done the 20 seconds of scrubbing with bubbles, you're going to scrub again quite a while, 10 to 15 seconds probably to get all those bubbles off, and you really want to scrub every spot of your hands, you know, for food safety as well as good hygiene. And doing all of that is going to assure that you are at the utmost that your body can be. And then what I would tell you, too, is you're exactly right. With our high school students, I know when my kids were at home, high school students run busy, and even elementary students run busy. So getting an appropriate amount of sleep, along with washing our hands and along with eating a variety of food groups, only makes our immune systems to the maximum operating condition.
Absolutely. And maybe get a little extra vitamin C, too, during this dangerous time of the year.
It is. They say bump that up, and I think it couldn't hurt anyways.
Yeah, it's not gonna
and
hurt.
Then it just assures that you get a different color and a different variety of food on a daily basis when you're thinking about your vitamin C foods and those kind of things. But the sleep is where I think the other one that I think we really lack on. Mm-hmm. And we know high school students need more sleep than what I need. Elementary students need just as much sleep. So we're talking 8 to 10 hours. Mm-hmm. And so, like you say, we're slowing down a little bit here over the Thanksgiving with school schedules anyways. So take some opportunity to have an afternoon nap or sleep in, all of those things, because it really does keep your immune system fully functioning.
Allow yourself the grace to get some extra relaxation, and especially if you're already feeling a little under the weather.
Right,
it can make
a
big difference.
Right, and then knowing that the weather's going to be pretty warm outside, we're going to all be able to get outside and take a little walk, do a little football in the front yard
get
with the pile of leaves, fresh air, all of that. I would take advantage of it all.
And Brenda, I want to remind folks as well that hand sanitizer is a great creation, but unfortunately some folks in our country and even in our area have the misconception that it's a substitute for hand washing, and there's no such thing. It's a great thing to have, a great resource, but there's no substitute for that quality hand washing that you talked about.
Yeah, you know, you're exactly right. Boy, we've trained you well. Woo! We get an A for the day for training you, but no, you know, the hand sanitizer is a great one, like you say, when you're out and you don't have soap and water. But it really is no substitute for soap and water, because you're not getting everything washed off. You're probably reducing some toxicity, some levels of bacteria on your hand, but you're not eliminating it. And so I would tell you that it's not a substitution by any means, and research shows that to us, but it can be utilized at times. But I would say minimally, and even then, when you get it on your hands, if you're using your hands to eat anything, it could change the flavor of it, and so you're not enjoying it nearly as much. And so, and then, you know, even the Clorox, the Clorox wipes or any kind of any brand.
We know them as the Clorox wipes.
We do know them as the Clorox wipes. Boy, they've done a good job to me, haven't they?
Yeah, they have.
It doesn't matter chlorine that's in many of those things, and some has it and some doesn't. And remember, they're different strengths. And so you really have to have the percentage of chlorine that's in that wipe to know how long the surface has to stay wet. So in the last 2 to 3 years, if you haven't read the directions on packages, I would encourage you to slow down and even read those right along with our hand sanitizers, because each one of them varies a little bit, and the surface has to stay wet if you're going to reduce pathogens. And yes, that label says 99.9% kill, but you really never kill the pathogens. Mm-hmm. You reduce them to levels that take out the risk factors.
Brenda, folks want to learn more about what we've talked about this morning. How can they do so?
Well, you know, there's all kinds of sites out there, and I think there's turkey sites, so just turkey.com this time of year. I know the Nebraska Extension site, we are geared up with the whole Turkey Central, which is just food.unl.edu, and you'll find all kinds of information. And there again, our information is research-based, so I would encourage you to go to a site that you know that they're not just going by what they did last year, the year before, or whatever. Go back to a trustworthy site. So there again, the food.unl.edu, all of that stuff is research-based. Ball.com, I kind of forget what some of those sites are, but there are commercial sites out there, and there again, you know the brands of those that are going to be replicable, so go to those as well. But really do yourself justice and think about what you're reading, and if it makes sense to the two-hour rule, to the 3 to 4 day leftovers, all of those kind of things. And if it's not a source that you've ever heard of before, or somebody in the room hasn't heard of, I would tell you maybe it's not a trustworthy site. So think again. And there again, it puts us in the role of being consumer to start thinking about what we do. And there again, when you go to purchase your turkey, The turkey might have been frozen, but if you forgot it in the trunk, and oh yeah, it went down to 19 degrees last night, it was okay in the trunk. What research tells us is that you can't assure that that turkey stayed completely frozen. So every little step along the way, and I'm the first one, so when you carry in the groceries, Tristan, do you stop and wash your hands before you put those groceries away?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I will say when I get out of the store, I use hand sanitizer before I touch anything in the car, but I would say, no, you should just put them away right as soon as you get in the door, right?
You do. And so then you're opening up the fridge and you're maybe touching some other things as you shuffle things around to get in there. So did you just create a new risk in the refrigerator? And then even after you've unloaded them all, before you open up whatever you're going to whip in the oven to get cooking for supper that night, did you wash your hands again? Mm-hmm. And so there again, I think each one of us, myself included, we do risky behaviors when it comes to food safety and assuring that mm-hmm. we don't have a stomach ache. And I know at my house, when grandma's coming over to eat, I really want to take some special precautions because I like grandma being here and yep. I want to assure that grandma's healthy all next week. And as we build up to the holiday season, boy, we want grandma here.
Absolutely.
And not having a stomach ache and not able to come back.
Want that high quality of life for
yes,
those loved ones.
Yes, yes. Well, you know, you say that and we can joke, but it really is true.
Yeah.
And it was so evident and we learned it all in the last 2 years, all these extra precautions. But do we really slow down in this day-to-day life mm-hmm. to make sure that we do that, you know?
Brenda, as always, we appreciate the time and appreciate the tips. Happy Thanksgiving to you, the family, and everybody at the Extension Office.
Great. Thank you very much, Tristan.